Two Whispers on the Braid, written by Dreamer in Silico and read by Wilfriede 0815. Fandom, this is how you lose the time war. Relationship, blue/red. Rating, mature. No archive warnings apply. Additional tags, epistolary, purple prose. They had sex. They love talking about it, but they're not gonna be normal about it. They meet, some years linear after Red makes her escape from the Commandant's cells. It turns out that the fact that they're from mutually incompatible timelines, time threats, time braids, skeins, means they light up all kinds of alarms when they inhabit the same strand together for any appreciable amount of time. They can never stay for long, but that first time, where they properly enjoy each other, could sustain either of them for many lifetimes with its sweetness. In the unquiet snowscape of an Antarctic winter on Earth, Blue composes a letter in the crystal structure of a snowflake. My darling Red, my children's hospital, is that tasteless? I should be the expert on taste, probably, yet I ask your opinion on the matter. Your hair between my fingers was everything I had anticipated, and more. I have lived 1,000 lives and more, loved linear time beings in each of them, even. And though my love was true, it could not compare to the questionably extratemporal experience of encountering you for the first time in the flesh, where one of us was not dead. The way you shivered at my touch, the way you shook at the barest brush of my breath upon your skin, the way I knew you wanted to eat me, had eaten me, in some essential way, because of course you were my salvation and my resurrection. It was all so primal. I should say it is of garden, but I have forsaken it as much as it has forsaken me. You had already violated me. You had already committed the initial offense against me long before either of us were born. How does that feel? I know how it feels to me. It hurts, and I add it to the string of ephemeral pearls that are my hurts from you. I love each of them that hang around my throat. Some version of me accepted it, and you brought me back from the ashes. Red, I love you so. It is a relief of a sort to put this to words so plainly, knowing that I'm already damned in the eyes of my people as much as in yours. Were they ever truly my people? I wonder this, as I think about years and decades spent embedded with those of linear time, far in the distant, primordial past of those who would go on to make garden. Or your agency, for that matter. Yes, I know. I suppose it is not your agency any more than I should be referring to garden as my own. Let us not dwell on that. Instead, I wish to dwell on, in, the moment where I slipped my fingers inside you and your body, all agency armored and bristling with weapons, let me. Perhaps it worked because of how you saved me. Perhaps we could have always done this, after all. I find myself more eager to believe the former. Are you immune to me, Fireflower? Have you so inoculated yourself with my particular venom that you may invite me to invade you with impunity and expect me to voluntarily retreat? I'll tell you a secret. I pressed down hard enough to bruise on the inside of your thigh on purpose. I hope you'll forgive me this small transgression. I want to think of you carrying the evidence of our meeting until the next time I see you. I look forward to seeing the green bloom of a healing bruise upon your skin. Yours in adoring disrespect, Blue Monday. Red knows, when the one particular snowflake alights on her eyelash, what she has found. The kiss of cold is in fact just like, and unlike, a kiss from her love's mouth. They'd spent less than a conventionally reckoned twist of the braid together, all told. Yet the experience blazes in her memory, with the promise of more. Harder, better, faster, stronger. They have time. They have all the time in the universe, as long as they are free. Staying in the same strand for too long has turned out to be problematic. There is no quiet seaside, literal or figurative, to which creatures of mutually exclusive timelines may retire together. But they can dance up and down the braids, as they did before, daring to meet and mate on the wing like songbirds. And that must be enough. Garden and the agency are both after them. It's a waste of both their time and resources that has become another shared joke between them. Each organization is expending as much energy chasing down their own benign time anomalies as they are opposing one another. Maybe this is how their equilibrium is maintained. Maybe this is how no one, but everyone, wins the time war. My irreverent personal Jesus. To say you made me feel the earth move would be both to indulge in cliché and also understatement. That is not strong enough to match the choir that played within my head as you brought me to my peak. I was reminded of the cathedral at Coventry, minutes before the bombs began to fall in most skeins. A holy, soon to be holy, hush, pregnant with promise. It has been something like hilarious to watch the commandant's moves from the outside, for once. She is too focused on what she has lost, as if she could reclaim it. As if destroying me, or you, would get her anything besides a sense of fleeting vindication. The trite thing to say here is maybe the way one wins the game is simply to not play. But we do not have that option. The game pursues us evermore. But I know that you are clever enough to dodge around its machinations. And to be worthy of you, I must at least come in at the same order of magnitude. I'm a physicist, okay? We think in powers of 10. I await your word on which strand we shall meet next, and look forward to it ardently. With all my bloodiest, most fundamentally aortic love. Red. The End.